Welcome to Alan Newton Ministries. Alan's mission is to help other believers see who we already are in Christ. Not who we may be someday, but who we are right now. Alan's calling is to interpret God's Word in the light of the third day experience. May you be blessed in the knowledge of Him and inspired by these teachings as the Father opens your eyes of understanding through God's words.
Hello, and welcome once again to Concepts in Hebrew, where we try to discuss particular passages from Scripture that are sometimes very difficult to translate into English, and sometimes even more difficult to understand in the light of our Western culture. Today I would like to share some of my thoughts and insights on a Hebrew word that we translate word, W-O-R-D. And the word from Hebrew is davar. I would spell that phonetically D-A-H-B-A-R, davar. The primary definition of this word davar is one of order, to put things into their proper order, to bring them into their orderly arrangement, to establish the proper process, whether it be of thinking, of walking out your godliness, of right relationship with others, but it has to do with the orderly arrangement that the Spirit of God is leading us into. One of the references that I'd like to use to try to illustrate that is in Genesis chapter 12, verses 4. This is the chapter where Abram is coming into consciousness of God and a relationship with Him. Verse 4 says, "So Abram departed, as the Lord had davar unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram, 75 years old, when he departed out of Haran." So the word davar there gives me the idea that the Spirit of God, Yahweh here in this sentence, because it's the word the Lord in all capital letters, is usually representing or almost always representing the word in Hebrew, Yahweh. And it says, "As Yahweh had davar unto him." I believe that the Spirit of God communicating in Abram gave him the understanding, the unction, maybe even the message that it was time for him to move and begin seeking that city that he was really looking for, which was not a city established on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Abram was looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. He never was looking for a physical location. He always was looking for that spiritual land that Yahweh was stirring up within him by the davar of the Lord, the words of the Lord. And in, as a second witness, in Genesis 15:1, we read, "And after these things, the davar of Yahweh came unto Abram in a vision, to say unto him, Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." You can read it and check that out for yourself. But in this case, the davar came in a vision to him. This word davar is also the word that's translated in Proverbs 25:2 this way. "It is the glory of God to conceal davar, but the honor of kings to search out davar." And incidentally, that word that we translated search out from the Hebrew actually means to excavate, to dig it up, to do whatever you have to do to unearth it and have access to it. But obviously the most common and popular translation of davar is simply as word or words. And it is the word of God that brings order. It establishes the order. It declares what the order is and then leads us to that order. If a word that we hear is not bringing order or bringing us to order, then maybe it wasn't the Word of God that we heard after all. For the Word of God always establishes the order of God. Sometimes it brings it by correction. Sometimes it brings it by separation. Sometimes it brings it by illumination, changing the way we think, changing the way we understand. But its end result is to always establish God in our thinking, in our presence, in our awareness. Now, my favorite usage of this word, my favorite thought from this word, is from John 1:1. I'm sure you know it very well. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was Devar, and the Devar was with God, and the Devar was God." And we've translated that into English as Word. And it rightly refers to us, the presence of Jesus Christ, illustrating to us what the presence of God looks like in a man's daily existence. But we translated it Word. In the beginning was the Word. So in the beginning was Devar. And that Devar is God's divine presence, because His presence always establishes His order. And in John 1:14, it says, "And the Word," or the Devar, "was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In other words, to my understanding anyway, this is telling me that Yeshua, Jesus, showing up as the Word of God, as the Devar of God, was to illustrate in our own presence, in our own awareness, in a way that we could understand and relate to, what it looked like to be the man of God, based on the presence of the Word of God in that man. I personally believe that the Gospel of John was to introduce us more accurately to what it looked like to be a man of God who heard the Word of God, lived by the Word of God, and could communicate the Word of God to those around him. To bring that Devar into his own experience, to bring that Devar into his own walk, to bring that Devar into his own identity, to the extent that the Devar, or the Word of God, is what he illustrated in everything that he did. His walk, his talk, his communication with everyone around him, everything that he had to give away to others was based on the Devar of God. Listen to this from John 5:24. And he says, "Verily, verily," and in Hebrew he would have said, "Amen, amen," a double witness. "I say unto you, he that hears my Devar and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life already." Now, I obviously added "already," but the implication is clear, that if you hear God's Devar and you believe on the one who sent Jesus Christ and that he has the everlasting life, then you've already passed from condemnation. For there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And in verse 25, he follows this up and he says, "Amen, amen, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and even now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now, he's clearly saying that they will hear the Devar of God from the Son of God. He wasn't talking about dead bodies in the grave. He was talking about people who were spiritually dead because they had no direct connect relationship with God Himself. What they needed was the Devar, the orderly arrangement of the Word of God, to return them, restore them to their right relationship with God, which God calls resurrection. Now, he was obviously talking to the religious rulers leaders of his day, men who wanted to rule over other men. And so in trying to drive this point home, when they question him further and they doubt, he says in John 5:38, "And you have not his devar abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not." And in verse 39, he follows this up. He says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." I think Jesus was saying to these people that I am the Word of God. I am sent forth from the Word of God. And if you don't believe me, it's because you don't have any of the Word of God in you. Because in verse 39, he says, you continually search the Scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life. And he went on to say, but all of those Scriptures are only testifying about me. They are, those Scriptures that they were searching are the devar of God that are testifying of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus who is the Christ. And in John 8:31, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my devar, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I think it's very interesting that Jesus did not say the truth will set you free. I have heard for years people quote, "The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free," never knowing what they're talking about. Because the truth is the devar of God. And the devar of God does not just set you free, it makes you free. As I've said before, or quoting somebody else, I don't know who originated this phrase, but four walls do not a prison make. Prison is in your mind, in your heart. It's the absence of the Word of God in a man that makes him a prisoner. And Jesus said in John 8:31, "If you continue in my devar, are you my disciples indeed? And by continuing in my devar, you shall know truth, and that truth makes you a free man." In John 6:63, Jesus is quoted as saying, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and are life." Now, he's saying this to the disciples in context of just a few sentences before. He is saying that as the Father hath sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. He had told them that he was the bread of heaven, or the bread of life that came down out of heaven. And he says, "You must eat my flesh and drink of my blood." And when he knew that the disciples were struggling over this, they said, "This is a hard thing. We're not sure we understand this." Then he says to them, "It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's the words that I speak unto you are spirit and are life." The Davarim of God is spirit, and it is life. So much so as to follow this up in John 10:35, where the religious leaders were doing battle with Jesus over his words, his very presence. And he asked them and said, "You know, what good work are you going to stone me for today?" And they said, "We don't stone you for a good work, but because you blaspheme, and because you, being a man, makest yourself God." And in Jesus, in John 10:34, says to them, and Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law?" Now you notice there, he didn't say, "Is it not written in my law?" He says to these Jews who wanted to live by the law, "Is it not written in your law that I said, you are gods? And in verse 10:35, if he called them gods, unto whom the devar of God had come, and the scripture cannot be broken. So Jesus is clearly saying there to them that you search the scriptures in thinking you find life in them. And there is life in them, but not by the legal letter. It's by the spirit that's in the devar of God. He said, if God called them gods because the devar of God had come into them, and he says, and scripture can't be broken, then why do you want to stone me? And as one more reference to try to illustrate this point, in John 15:7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if my devar, davarim is the plural, devar singular, if my davarim abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, in my humble opinion, Jesus is pretty clearly laying out to those that he came to call that it is the word of God, the devar of God, the orderly arrangement of God that was going to fix their condition. That they were religious? Yes. They kept many rituals? Yes. But they had no life abiding in themselves because they did not hear the devar of God as the Spirit of God bringing back order into their own personal experiences. I'm convinced that it is the Word of God in each one of us that corrects us, that points us in the right direction, that gives us the orderly arrangement for conducting our lives, not only with our Father, but with each other. Jesus narrowed it down to two things. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your body, soul, and spirit, if I translate it directly into English. And he said, the other is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's orderly arrangement. That is God in action between you and God and between me and you. Now, as an afterthought to try to follow up on this, or maybe if I can say it this way, to put a little icing on the cake, I want to take you back to Exodus, because we have referenced to us from Exodus the introduction of what we call the Ten Commandments. And when I discovered this word devar, and I discovered that in the original Hebrew language, God never gave Moses Ten Commandments. He gave them ten words, ten orderly arrangements. And you can look this up for yourself. All you need is a Strong's Concordance, and you can look these words up and verify whether or not what I'm telling you is accurate. But what God wanted to give to the Israelites was not a list of commandments, because the word that's translated commandment in most places in our scripture is the Hebrew word tzavah. And that actually means to apply to yourself externally a rule or a regulation to try to correct your behavior. And that's all a commandment can do. A commandment is an external binding or limitation to try to keep you from doing things you shouldn't do. God never gave the Israelites Ten Commandments. He gave them ten davarim, ten words. And when you understand the Hebrew and you read it in that context, then those Ten Commandments take on a completely different light. They sound different, they smell different, they taste different, because you realize then that God was giving them ten orderly arrangements that were not a list of do's and don'ts, but it was a way of understanding the character and nature of the God that had established covenant relationship with them. And in our thinking, our carnal thinking, our religious thinking, we are so programmed to believe that God gave us commandments that we have to keep, and we walk constantly through our lives, many of us, most of us, thinking that the commandments that God requires, we've never been able to fully keep well enough to suit God or to suit our fellow man. Religion has told us over and over and over again that if we break the commandments, we have to pay the punishment. That's not what that's saying. The 10 orderly arrangements, or 10 ways of expressing God in your daily relationship, you to God and you to me, me to God and me to you. If we understand those orderly arrangements, then we realize that most of those orderly arrangements have already been established in our heart, because God told Jeremiah, he said, I'll do something they could never think of. I'll write this on their heart. See, God is an inside Job, or an inside job, I should have said. The Spirit of God in us, by His Devar, is our arrangement. It is our right relationship with one another. It is our way of fellowship. It is how we illustrate to those who do not know God what it's like to walk daily with our God. He said, I will write my Torah on their heart, my word, my law on their heart, and the Devar of God written on their hearts will make them the people of God. And the Lord God says, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. When my word, my Devar, is written on their heart, and the Spirit of me in my words in them will be their conduct. That will be the way that they live out their lives. That is how they will relate to themselves and to those around them. That is indeed how they will show to the world, to those who do not know God as Father, what it's like to live in right relationship with your Father. Because when the world sees that, that's also what they're looking for. Everyone is hungry for the same thing. It's just that in Christianity, we've turned the love of God into a religion and demanded that others keep the same religious rules and rituals that we do. That's not what God came to do. He sent Jesus Christ to put us back in right relationship with God, so that then we could be in right relationship with each other. Because when I see God in your walk, that makes me hungry. That makes me want some of that as well. I hope you'll be able to consider this word, Devar. Maybe have it become a part of your thinking, to the extent that when you read the scriptures and you come across the word translated word or words, that it is the word of God, the Devar, the orderly arrangement. When you read through the Gospel of John and you see all of the times that Jesus said word and words, he's actually saying the Devar, the order of God, the orderly arrangement in your thinking based on what you see me do and say. He said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only do according to my Father's Devar. I only say according to my Father's Devar. I only go where my Father tells me to go, based on His Devar. And so I'm going to leave you with this last thought. In John 8:31, Jesus says, or the Word says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my Devar, my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Remember, as I said before, the truth doesn't set you free, because if the truth only sets you free, then you can be bound up and tripped up and put back into jail. You can be retrapped in a mental or spiritual bondage. But if my word abide in you, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then no man can deceive you. Thank you for listening. I hope something we said today blesses you, ministers to you, and until we get a chance to meet again, I bid you shalom and shalom.